Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the joint press conference call of Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group. My name is Heike Ernst, and I will be your operator today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. The conference language will be English. Conference line A will provide you with the original voice. The second line B will provide you with simultaneous translation into German. Please be aware that a slide deck is available in German and in English on the Deutsche Börse and LSEG webpage as of now, or via the English web link only for the press release. A replay of the call will also be available later on both websites. At the end of the call, you will have the option to ask your questions in either English on the English line or German on the German line. We ask that callers limit their questions to one to allow for broader participation. I will now be connecting you to the conference for introductions by Rüdiger Assyon, Head of Group Communications of Deutsche Börse.
Good morning, everyone. Before I introduce our speakers today, let me remind you that this presentation includes forward-looking statements about Deutsche Börse AG, London Stock Exchange Group, the enlarged group, and other persons, which may include statements about the proposed business combination, the likelihood that such a transaction could be completed, the effect of any transaction on the businesses of Deutsche Börse AG or London Stock Exchange Group, and other statements that are not historical facts. By their nature, forward-looking statements involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to events and depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance or actual results of operations, financial condition and liquidity, and the development of the industries in which Deutsche Börse AG and London Stock Exchange Group operate may differ materially from those made in or suggested by the forward-looking statements contained in this document. Any forward-looking statements speak only as at the date of this document. Except as required by applicable law, none of Deutsche Börse AG, London Stock Exchange Group undertakes any obligation to update or revise publicly any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Please note that the enlarged group shares will not be registered under the U.S. Securities Act or otherwise in the United States, and we are not making any public offer of shares in the U.S. The enlarged group shares may not be offered or sold in the U.S. without an exemption from U.S. registration requirements. For the conference today, Carsten Kengeter, Chief Executive of Deutsche Börse, Xavier Rolet, Chief Executive, and David Warren, CFO of London Stock Exchange Group, will walk you through the key components of this compelling strategic combination. Carsten, Xavier, and David will be referring to the slides during their presentation, which are available on our respective websites. We will then be happy to take any question you may have. With that, let me turn the call over to Carsten Kengeter, Chief Executive of Deutsche Börse.
Ladies and gentlemen, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, guten Morgen. Aus Rücksicht auf die vielen internationalen Teilnehmer dieser Telefonkonferenz werde ich gleich Englisch sprechen. In der späteren Frage- und Antwortrunde können Sie Ihre Fragen.
Out of consideration, ladies and gentlemen, for the many international participants in this phone conference, I will be speaking English. In the later Q&A round, you're welcome to ask your questions in either language.
Pleased today to jointly present our plan for a merger of equals between Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group. Let me turn over to Xavier to make some introductory remarks.
Thank you, Carsten. I'm very pleased to be talking to you with Carsten today on this joint conference call. I know that I speak for both of us when I say that we are really pleased to be finally able to talk to you today to give you the facts to judge the proposed merger on its merits, rather than relying on the rumors and speculation that have dominated the headlines over the last few weeks. Please also note that we will provide further information about the terms of the merger in the scheme of arrangement document to LSEG shareholders and in the offer document to Deutsche Börse shareholders in due course. On a personal note, it has been a pleasure to work on such a transformational deal with Carsten. We have known each other for over 20 years. We both started our professional careers at Goldman Sachs, and we've stayed in touch on and off over the years. The fact that we speak the same language, the international language of finance, has no doubt helped us to reach a common vision and understanding of what we could achieve together. Before we look at the slides, I have one simple message to deliver, and that is that I 100% support this merger. I firmly believe it is the right deal for our shareholders, customers, and employees. Both companies will grow as a result. Both London and Frankfurt will prosper as international financial centers, and the UK, Germany, and Europe as a whole will benefit. I also believe it is absolutely the right time to take this transformative step in our histories. The market infrastructure industry is in a period of transformative change. In the last 7 years that I have had the absolute honor and privilege to serve as Chief Executive Officer of London Stock Exchange Group, we've gone from a domestic exchange to a truly globally diversified market infrastructure business with three core pillars: capital formation, intellectual property, and risk and balance sheet management. Deutsche Börse has been on a similar journey of change and growth. Both LSEG and Deutsche Börse have proven that they have the ambition and the drive to be global leaders. We both already have global businesses in many areas, but together, our complementary businesses and footprint will enhance our global offering, making us even more competitive. This is a merger of equals between two highly complementary partners. The combined group will create a leading Europe-based global market infrastructure group, offering significant benefits for our customers and value for our shareholders. If you turn over to slide 5, one can see how compelling the strategic rationale for this merger is. We firmly believe that it will offer shareholders real long-term growth together with diversified and resilient revenue streams. We both have a track record of delivering value to shareholders, and together, we will accelerate our growth plans and deliver enhanced value over the long term. Customers will also reap the benefits of a new diversified global business able to address their needs across the entire investment life cycle. They will benefit from capital and operational efficiencies, for example, by taking advantage of our innovative benchmarking tools and our planned portfolio margining service. We will also help support our customers as they adapt to an evolving regulatory landscape. We will be a platform of choice for risk and balance sheet management. We will also create a leading venue for equity and debt capital formation. And the group will provide innovative benchmarking, index and data products to inform investment decision making. The combination also enhances our global footprint and will allow us to leverage the existing operations both groups have in Asia, China in particular, as well as the United States. With this powerful and highly complementary combination, we will create value for both sets of shareholders, driven by 450 million euros of cost synergies per annum, and also significant opportunity for revenue synergies. And the combined group will be the largest exchange group by total income, with a diversified revenue mix by product as well as geography. You will hear more about the financial benefits of the transaction later from David Warren. If you now turn over with me to slide 6, you can see the compelling strategic logic of this merger at a glance. Deutsche Börse AG and London Stock Exchange Group fit both strategically and operationally. Both have strong brands and market expertise. Both offer complementary products across the entire value chain, and both have a broad geographic scope as well as market depth. In our view, no other combination of market infrastructure providers today offers such a good match in terms of improving each other's strength, enhancing each other's capabilities, and accelerating each other's growth strategies. Let me give you a few examples. Our combination will bring together Deutsche Börse's deep liquidity pools in EU benchmarks and Europe's largest capital market. Both companies have strong clearing and risk and balance sheet management expertise in complementary asset classes and geographies. Both companies are exposed to high growth areas such as derivatives, indices, and market data. Both have leading technological capabilities forming the backbone of our existing and respective operations. Carsten will talk in greater detail about the combined Deutsche Börse and LSEG businesses later in this presentation. From a shareholder perspective, we both have proven track records, delivering strong returns. Deutsche Börse delivered 37% TSR over the last 2 years, whilst London Stock Exchange Group delivered 27%. The map on slide 7, which I now invite you to turn to, demonstrates our combined global reach. We both have a substantial presence in Asia. Both companies have been engaged in China, for example, from Deutsche Börse's joint venture agreement with the China Foreign Exchange Trade System to LSEG's UK Shanghai Stock Connect project and FTSE Russell's presence in China benchmarks. In addition, Deutsche Börse has cooperation agreements with Korea and Taiwan and LCH ClearNet has a large presence across Asia. We both also have significant presence in the all-important U.S. market. LSEG acquired the Russell Index business last year and clears the vast majority of U.S. dollar-denominated swaps. Together, we will maintain a customer partnership model with operations in over 30 countries. Turning quickly to slide 8. This slide shows the substantial footprint of the group across Europe. Not just in our home markets, of course, which Carsten will touch on later, but also in Italy, France, and Luxembourg, for example. We have a unique ability to strengthen European capital markets and support the EU's army of 23 million small and mid-sized enterprises through our combined efforts. Let me now hand back to Carsten, who will share his thoughts on the strategic rationale and take you through the combined business.
Thank you very much, Xavier. We do share a strategic vision for this newly combined group, which will deliver more than the sum of its parts to all of our stakeholders, customers, shareholders, employees, and others. Turning to slide 9, this demonstrates our vision. Together, Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group will be the largest exchange group by total income. Through its enhanced position in the global market infrastructure sector, the combined group will be well-placed to adapt to industry and regulatory dynamics and able to compete globally. The combination enables Europe to maintain and enhance its capital markets infrastructure long-term, invest in state-of-the-art infrastructure, and build global connectivity. Further, the stronger linkage between the largest European economies, i.e. the UK and Germany, will result in economic growth, better access to low-cost capital for investments across Europe. Turning to slide 10, we will support the envisaged capital markets union and will ultimately play a significant role in making this vision a reality, creating an ecosystem for financing growth companies at all stages of development. This includes better access to capital markets for the real economy, including SMEs. Together, we want to accelerate the necessary shift of market activities to a well-regulated European capital market. With our proven expertise in running safe, stable, and transparent markets, we will be a strong and reliable partner for our customers and our regulators to respond to an evolving regulatory landscape. The combined group will be able to facilitate more efficient liquidity and enhanced counterparty risk management. The combination will not impact the existing regulatory framework and increased levels of transparency and collaboration with local regulators will allow them to supervise financial activities more effectively. And now to slide 11. Frankfurt and London are important financial and trade centers for the global economy as well as for Europe, and both have strong links between financial services and the real economy. The combined group will contribute to financial stability, subject to customary and final regulatory approvals. Both partners will retain their existing regulatory frameworks, and we will address changing customer needs in an evolving regulatory landscape. We will also be able to offer better and more efficient services to our customers. For example, we plan to develop a portfolio margining service between OTC and listed rate derivative clearing markets, providing significant customer benefits through margin relief and cost of capital savings, allowing capital to flow back into the real economy. The portfolio margining service will be subject to full regulatory approvals, adhering to all current EU regulations, including EMIR. We believe all of the countries in our group will benefit from this transaction, but let's look at the benefits for London and Frankfurt in more detail on the following slides. Turning to slide 12, let's discuss an important point, the question about location. This partnership can and will only thrive if both partners are committed to it. The partnership of Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group combines the unique strengths of the two leading European financial centers and reinforces their position globally. Both locations must and will benefit greatly from this merger. Let us start with London. The city is a leading global financial center, a link to the US and Asian growth markets, and a center of trade. With leadership in OTC clearing and risk management with LCH Clearnet, and the home of a global index leader, FTSE Russell. It also has strong technology and primary and secondary markets. For London, the planned merger further strengthens the city's position in international capital markets. Now turning to slide 13, let us discuss Frankfurt. This city is the access point into the largest European economy, as well as an important center of knowledge in Germany. Therefore, it is the monetary lifeline not only for Germany, the largest economy in Europe, but for the whole Eurozone. Frankfurt is also a monetary policy stronghold with the ECB and Bundesbank. The connection between London, Frankfurt, and Milan secondary cash markets will offer new access points for German investors and corporates, providing better opportunities and services for German companies to raise new capital for investment. It will also provide an attractive offering for Asian and US companies searching for European investors and capital. This will provide promising business opportunities for Frankfurt to participate in London's large capital markets and liquidity pools. A further step towards a true European capital markets union and a further boost for Frankfurt, I have no doubt. As you can see, it is a very good fit for the long-term benefit of both Frankfurt and London, or to say it in other words, both partners win. Turning to slide 14, this merger will create significant value for a wide range of stakeholders. There will be a meaningful value creation driven by an enhanced growth profile, strong synergies, and an attractive capital return policy. This is good for both groups' shareholders. For our customers, they will benefit from deeper liquidity, more transparent markets, and simplified global access to multiple products. For our issuers, we will be the global listings partner of choice with London, Frankfurt, and Milan markets. By executing effectively on the above, there will be benefits to our employees and creditors. Lastly and importantly, the regulatory framework will remain unchanged, subject to customary and final regulatory approvals, and the combined group will be a stronger, more diversified global clearing provider, bringing increased safety, resiliency, and transparency to global markets. Now turning to slide 16 and the section on the strength of our combined businesses. As we've said, the combination also brings together a complementary set of products with global, leading, and well-known brands across the investment cycle, from capital markets to post-trade and to supporting information services and technology businesses. This will ultimately result in an enhanced product offering for our customers. This slide showcases the complementarity of the LSEG and Deutsche Börse businesses and the strength and depth in products and skills across each business line. Looking first at primary and secondary cash markets, through the combination of a number of leading listing venues in London, Frankfurt, and Milan, we are creating an ecosystem to facilitate financing of European and international businesses across all stages of their development. The combined group is a leader in fixed income markets, helping government and corporate issuers through the combination of a number of venues, including MTS and Eurex bonds. In derivatives trading and clearing, the combined group will have leading providers of exchange-traded and OTC derivatives, bringing together the strength of both LCH ClearNet's OTC clearing platform and Eurex's listed derivatives franchise. Given the recent speculation, I'll state it here again that the existing regulatory framework of all regulated entities within the combined group would remain unchanged, subject to customary and final regulatory approvals. In custody and settlement, combining Clearstream and Monte Titoli and GlobeSettle will allow the group to be well-positioned to attract assets and issuers in a new T2S world. And finally, we will create a larger and more diversified information services and technology division. Moving to slide 17, please. You can see that the combined group will offer our customers a truly multi-asset class business across the entire product portfolio. The matrix on the right shows that the combined business will have leading positions across multiple asset classes with the ability to service global customers across the investment, risk, and balance sheet management life cycles. This is an important point. Eurex offers derivatives products across a range of underlyings, equities, FX, interest rates, and commodities. Meanwhile, our main competitors have built their franchises around single products, either in energy markets or U.S. Treasuries. Slide 18, please. Both Deutsche Börse and LSEG are united by a fundamental belief in the role of capital markets to support not only blue-chip companies, but also, as Xavier mentioned, the EU's 23 million small and medium-sized enterprises. Some of them are blue-chip companies of tomorrow and therefore have a highly important role for future growth in Europe. By combining the various listing venues the two groups have across London, Frankfurt, and Milan, as well as a number of assets geared to support the SME sector, the combined group will create a leading venue for capital formation and play a vital role in facilitating economic growth in Europe. We are committed to continue growing markets such as AIM, MOT, and ORB, and programs such as LSEG's Elite and Deutsche Börse's Venture Network. To provide a full range of capital market services to the SME sector, including equity and debt raising, financial education, and connecting businesses with investors. Over to slide 19, please. The combination will bring together four leading global multi-asset class CCP clearinghouses under one roof, a historical step enhancing customer benefits as well as the safety and integrity of global markets. With margin pools in aggregate of approximately 150 billion euros across LCH ClearNet and Eurex Clearing, the boards believe the combined group would continue to promote the safety, resiliency, and transparency of global financial markets. LCH ClearNet Group will continue to be committed to a horizontal open access clearing model, and the combined group will meet non-discriminatory open access provisions across all relevant businesses in the forthcoming European regulation, MiFID II and MIFIR. The combination of respective strengths of these organizations will lead to a number of benefits, including the reduction of complexity. Turning now to slide 20. The merger brings together Clearstream with Monte Titoli and Globe Settle, further increasing customer access to settlement, custody, asset servicing, and collateral management. In a T2S world, we believe the combined group will be better positioned to attract assets and issuers, as well as further building on its strong links to Asian markets. With over 16 trillion of assets under custody and its collateral management capabilities, the combined group will significantly help ease the burden of financing in the market and build on Clearstream's existing global liquidity hub. And now turning to slide 21 to discuss the index and information services businesses. Together, we will be better positioned to deliver to our customers the benefits of ongoing convergence between exchange, market infrastructure, data, and information services companies. 2015, total income is around 1 billion euros, with leading positions in indices, real-time and reference data, trade repository and regulatory reporting, as well as processing services. The division will benefit from a larger combined sales operation driving continued strong growth. We are an attractive partner for asset managers and banks as they seek innovative new investment and trading strategies. Let us now focus on indices on slide 22. The combination brings together leading globally recognized index brands such as FTSE Russell, Stocks and DAX indices. Together, we will be well positioned to respond to the structural growth trends in the asset management industry, including the shift to passive investment and demand for innovative benchmarking tools such as factor indices and fixed income indices. In Europe, ETF AUMs have been increasing with a growth rate of 24% per annum since 2005 and offer a large market opportunity for the combined group. Furthermore, the index franchises are highly complementary. FTSE Russell has leading benchmarking expertise and StockStax has a strong derivatives and tradable index franchise. These leading and globally recognized brands are well placed to support US, European, and Asian investors in the global investment decision-making lifecycle. Now, allow me to hand over to David Warren, Chief Financial Officer of LSEG, to talk through the financial highlights of this transaction.
Thank you, Carsten. Before I begin, we understand that there was a technical problem during this call where a number of you were disconnected. We understand that that's been fixed. We apologize for this. We certainly do tell you that the entire call is being recorded, so the parts that you missed you can pick up on the tape. I'm delighted to outline the key financial benefits from this merger. Over the next five slides, I will highlight the attractive financial profile of the combined group and the value to be created for shareholders and customers. So if you could please turn to slide 24. The new group will have well-diversified revenue streams delivering strong margins, and the combination is expected to be accretive to both Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group adjusted cash earnings in the first full year. As you've heard, we expect 450 million euro in cost synergies per annum, achieved in year three post-completion, and significant opportunity for revenue synergies. We will have a highly attractive cash generation profile, providing us with capital for future investment and growth, as well as attractive capital return. We intend to adopt a progressive dividend policy within the range of the current policies of both the London Stock Exchange Group and the Deutsche Börse. Let me give you now a few more details, starting on slide 25. Cost savings, total cost synergies of 450 million per annum are equivalent to approximately 20% of the combined group's 2015 operating costs of approximately 2.2 billion euro. These are additional to any savings already planned by the LSEG and Deutsche Börse. Cost synergies are expected to come from three major areas: technology-enabled efficiencies, removing duplication in the corporate center, and business segment optimization. Within technology synergies, we anticipate savings from the removal of duplicated central IT functions, harmonizing trading and post-trade platforms, and reduction in project spending. Within the business segment and corporate center categories, we anticipate savings from integration of index businesses, scale efficiencies across asset classes, and removal of duplication in support functions, governance, as well as reduction in various external and professional fees. The full effect will be achieved by the third year post-completion, with the estimate of phasing shown on the slide. Both our organizations have a proven track record of delivery, and we will draw on the considerable resources, including our IT skills, expertise, and experience within our organizations to realize these benefits. The one-time cost to achieve these synergies is anticipated to be around 600 million euro. So if you could turn now to slide 26, where I'll discuss revenue synergies. We believe that through combining our broad and complementary customer bases, there will be opportunities to drive additional revenue growth. We haven't quantified these, but you can see the wide scope of opportunity by broad business area. I'll pick out a few examples. We can use the commercial expertise and distribution networks of the combined group's information services and index businesses to cross-sell products and expand across reference data and regulatory reporting. We can harness the benefits of the combined group's multiple clearing operations to further develop trading and clearing products in the fixed income, currency, and commodities complex, including customer benefits arising from portfolio margining services. And we can enhance our offerings in equity and debt capital formation for listed and pre-IPO companies and develop a liquidity bridge to facilitate cross-border market access for all trading participants to create deeper pools of liquidity and increased trading opportunities. And furthermore, we plan to drive growth both east and west in Asia and in the U.S. And now turning to slide 27, the combined group will generate revenues from well-diversified product lines and geographies. Each company will benefit from further diversifying their respective revenue streams as Deutsche Börse increases its exposure to information services and the London Stock Exchange increases its exposure to derivatives and custody and settlement services. Revenue volatility will be reduced with a broadly equal split of transactional and non-transaction revenues. So let me finish on slide 28 with observations on our stronger capital position and the increased balance sheet flexibility. The combined group's leverage is approximately 1.7 times based on 2015 financials, and we would expect this to reduce over time towards 1 times. As well as the focus on leverage, the group will also have financial flexibility to pursue additional strategic initiatives and to finance future growth. Within a broad capital management framework, the strong balance sheet and free cash flow generation will allow the combined group to continue attractive distribution policies. The combined group intends to adopt a progressive dividend policy within the range of the current policies of both companies. So we believe that the combined group can deliver real and significant value creation for shareholders through accelerated growth and substantial cost efficiencies that drives both capital growth and income benefits.
Thank you, David. Turning to slide 29, this provides a roadmap towards completion. We expect to close the transaction by the end of 2016 or during Q1 2017. There will be approvals needed, including those from regulators and shareholders. We look forward to seeking those approvals, and the parties have opened communications with a number of regulators already and will open communications with the remaining regulators in due course. Turning to slide 30, this is a summary of the key terms. We've structured the transaction in a well-balanced manner based on the compelling strategic rationale and business logic. The top holding company, UK Topco, will be a public limited company incorporated in the United Kingdom. The combined group will maintain its headquarters in both London and Frankfurt. UK Topco will have a unitary board with equal representation from LSEG and Deutsche Börse, constituted in accordance with UK Corporate Governance Code. LSEG will maintain a one-tier board system, while Deutsche Börse AG will maintain a two-tier board system subject to applicable co-determination rules. The existing regulatory framework of all regulated entities within the combined group would remain unchanged, subject to customary and final regulatory approvals. UK Topco will use the euro as its reporting currency for the purposes of its accounts and other financial reports following completion. Following completion, LSEG and Deutsche Börse will continue to pay tax related to their profits in their respective countries of incorporation. Each business will benefit from the enhanced revenue synergies and better service offering, meaning that Frankfurt and London will benefit from this potential business opportunity. The transaction will be an all-stock combination, resulting in current Deutsche Börse shareholders owning roughly 54% of the combined group and current London Stock Exchange Group shareholders owning roughly 46%. The governance structure is well balanced with an equal board, with Donald Bryden as chairman and Joachim Faber as deputy chairman and senior independent director. There will be continuity of management with myself as CEO and David Warren as Chief Financial Officer. Xavier Rollet will step down from the CEO position after completing the transaction, but he has kindly agreed to provide strategic support during this critical integration phase of the combination. We will name other management roles in due course using a best-in-class approach. The new holding company will seek a premium listing on the London Stock Exchange and a prime standard listing on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. It is envisioned that UK Topco shares will be eligible for inclusion in the Eurostox, DAX, and FTSE Russell Index series. I would like to sum up this truly transformational transaction in a few words. The combination will form a Europe-based global market infrastructure leader with significant benefits and value creation for our shareholders, customers, employees, and regulators by combining our strengths. We strongly believe this is the right transaction at the right time for our two companies, for the UK and Germany, and for the broader European marketplace. Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group are a very good fit together. We will accelerate our growth plans and deliver enhanced value over the long term. Both boards, chairmen, CEOs, and management teams firmly believe this is an industry-defining, value-enhancing merger of equals that will result in more than the sum of its parts. We are committed to proving this to our customers, shareholders, and other stakeholders in the days, weeks, and months ahead. I would like to turn over to Xavier, please.
Thank you, Carsten. And I'd certainly like to echo my comments at the start of this media call. I am 100% convinced that this merger is the right deal for shareholders, customers, and employees of both LSE Group and Deutsche Börse AG. Both companies will strengthen and grow as a result. Both London and Frankfurt will prosper as financial centers, as indeed will all the financial centers where our group is represented. And the UK, Germany, and Europe as a whole will also benefit. I also believe it is absolutely the right time to take this transformative step in our histories. And finally, I'd also like to add that I fully back the proposed management team to be led by Carsten and David. They are a powerful combination, and I believe they will deliver what we have set out here today. The goal is, remains, and will be to establish the combined entity as the premier global financial infrastructure group globally. We would now be happy to take your questions. The three of us are also joined by Gregor Pottmeyer, CFO of Deutsche Börse, Donald Bryden, Chairman of LSEG, and Joachim Faber, Chairman of Deutsche Börse AG. And I will turn it back to Carsten, who will chair the Q&A. Thank you.
Thanks, Xavier. Operator, could we have the first question, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9-star on your telephone keypad. We kindly ask all participants to limit their question to one per person. And the first question comes from Tim Cave, Dow Jones. Please go ahead with your question.
Morning, everyone. Why are you confident this deal will pass European antitrust reviews, particularly around derivatives clearing and cash equity trading? And do you expect to have to propose any remedies to the deal? Thank you.
Xavier, do you want to start off with this one?
Yes, certainly. Tim, thank you for the question. Obviously, no one engages in a merger of that relevance without considering these issues, but equally, we cannot prejudge the analysis and the outcome of the thinking of the competition authorities. However, if you take an objective look at the global markets as well as the European markets, not all considerations are linked to a pure European perspective. Many of the operations and the businesses that we carry out today do have a global environment. Clearing clearly is one such. Indices are also equally and similarly fall in that category. You can see that the relevant basis for analysis is what underlying market you consider. It can be local, it can be European, it can be global. You mentioned the equity market. I think one can only understate, and you, I think, amongst many journalists who have dedicated a lot of your attention to equity markets will know how ruthlessly competitive they are, with dozens upon dozens of exchanges, over 50 MTFs that compete in both the lit and dark segment. And I think other than giving you an answer, which I'm not prepared to give, because, again, we will not prejudge the analysis that will be made by the regulators. It's obvious that these businesses, by and large, are already ruthlessly competitive owing to the multiplicity of operators. So I hope that this gives you a hint in terms of the approach.
The next question comes from Marion Dekker's Telegraph. Please go ahead with your question.
Morning, all. I wonder whether there have been any pressure to sweeten the deal for LSE shareholders. I mean, given the share price increase, the possibility of a rival deal, whether there's any prospect of any movement there.
I guess you continue, no? Okay.
Certainly. It's clear that a merger of equal has to have a basis of relative value independently from a number of other aspects that have to be taken into consideration. And we felt that the appropriate such measure was a 3 months average, a simple mathematical average, which takes out some of the short-term movements that, you know, a given week, whether it's due to a currency or some other macro element. And so we felt that that was a rational foundation for the exchange of value. It is clear that the short-term, medium, and long-term growth of such a transaction, when two equal parties come together, and it's not just the balance that you will have seen within the governance, is also fundamentally the benefits that can be accrued to both clients and shareholders. And so in a merger of equal, what you really look at is once you've set that objective ratio or valuation, which, of course, the market is a perfect indicator, and we pick 3 months, which is an eminently rational way to consider that underpinning. You have to look at the synergies. Cost synergies were announced today, which gives, of course, a driver of short-term value creation. And even more importantly, and we all know how many shareholders today, the K Review was one such example, have such a long-term focus as well as a short-term focus, particularly in a zero or negative rate world where return opportunities and growth are less than obvious in many sectors, is the prospects for medium-term and long-term value accretion that this truly premier global infrastructure company operates. And on that basis, both parties felt that the current valuation was the appropriate one. This is not a takeover by one of the party on the other. This is two companies coming together to deliver short-term, medium-term, and long-term growth in a world that has actually gone ex-growth for a little while. So we believe a significantly attractive investment opportunity for both shareholders.
Great, thanks.
The next question comes from Eric Albert Lemont. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, everyone. Can I ask a question about Brexit? What happens if there is a Brexit, London, say, loses its clearing in euro? Doesn't the synergies unravel suddenly? And also a question for Xavier, if I may. You choose to fall on your sword, so to speak, about this with this merger. Why?
So I start off with the question, and then Xavier continues. So both LSEG and Deutsche Börse believe that the merger is well positioned to serve global customers, really irrespective of the outcome of the referendum. And the outcome might affect certain things. It might affect the volumes. It might affect some of the businesses, but the overall proposition is not endangered at all. It is running its course with full value. And in addition, we have, you've taken note, I believe, of the referendum committee that is established, and this will make suitable suggestions to deal with the ramifications of any potential vote going either way. So we don't see that as a risk to the business proposition. Xavier, do you want to move on?
certainly. And as you know, Eric, this transaction is not conditional on the outcome of the referendum. And to be fair, some people jump to conclusions saying Brexit means this or means that. We simply do not know. Hence the answer given to you by Carsten, to the point that we'll simply have to take a look. And that's all we can do. No one knows if the outcome were an exit, what the consequences would be. Now, the second part of your question, me falling on my sword, I've been very privileged to work with this great company that I love for the last 7 years or so. You know, one also has to think of the superior interest of customers, of shareholders. And I think this combination is indeed the basis upon which a premier leading global infrastructure company can be created. And so I also take pride, together with all my colleagues at LRCG, and I think I could speak for my future colleagues at Deutsche Börse, that they also all take pride in being part of that creation. That is all that matters for the moment, and hopefully it will look good in my CV. What other questions can I give you? Anyway, merci de ta question, Eric.
Thank you.
The next question will come from the German line.
Andreas Gruner from Reuters. Yes, two questions, actually. Number one, do you have a name for the merged stock exchange? If no, when you will disclose it? Secondly, ISE has announced a counter offer. So this merger of equals, might it become a takeover and Deutsche Börse will have to offer a premium or alternatively some form of special dividend to sweeten the deal for LSE shareholders? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Corona. Carsten can get us speaking. Unfortunately, no, we don't have a name yet. We'll take it step by step, one step at a time, no rush. We need a name, of course, before completion, but that is going to take a while. So it's still early days to discuss and to speculate about the name. As for your second question, I think you referred to ICE, the ICE. ICE sounds the same. Yes, says the person who asked the question. Yes, indeed. ICE caused some speculation, and in fact they have confirmed they have a certain interest in LSE, but that's all they did. What we have here is an agreed merger of equals. This is our goal. This is what we are doing. And we're not going to be diverted by anything or anybody else, because the rest is only speculation. We're not going to talk about speculation. We're going to focus what's on the table. Thank you.
The next question comes from the gym conference. Mr. Kartenseibel from Die Welt. I have one question. Are there any statements as to jobs? Will jobs be shifted between London and Frankfurt, or Frankfurt and London? And in particular, from a German angle, is there any job cut in the offing? Thank you very much, Mr. Seibel. As you've seen, we are at 450 million euros per year for synergies at the end of 3 years. That is the run rate we've arrived at. Certainly, this will give rise to some changes where jobs will be affected. That is clear. But let me highlight that this synergy pattern is substantiated very much with the IT movement that we see in terms of harmonization. A procedural adjustment and adaptation of the different segments, and on the whole, by the combination of large investments and the possible amortization of such investments across wider market areas. That is an important point. we've still got some time ahead of us for us to define these synergies more precisely and to address them even more precisely. So for the time being, I can only say there certainly will be changes, but the details of these changes, it is too early to talk about at this time.
Next question from the German line, Eric Nebel, DPAA Sachs. Yes, good morning. I have a question regarding the timing. When will shareholders have their say? Prior to the Brexit, after the Brexit, or the referendum regarding the Brexit? Could you expand on that, please? Yes, well, thank you for this question. Shareholders will have an opportunity to express their opinions over the next few months. There are some deadlines around the date of the referendum. We haven't decided yet when exactly we're going to talk to our shareholders. Might be after the date of the referendum. That remains to be seen. This is open. The timeline is basically based on the UK Takeover Code. This defines the horizon, and in that regard, the question you ask, we are flexible. Follow-up question? Well, of course, you need the green light from the authorities, Mr. Kengeter. No. This is actually happening in parallel. So we can ask shareholders about our proposed merger in parallel. Now, should regulators across various jurisdictions say no, then, of course, we would no longer have to seek approval from our shareholders, but we hope that everything is going to go according to plan. When you say you're flexible, follow question, would you like to have a vote prior to the referendum or after the referendum? Well, that is still open because there are still some other factors that affect our timing. Basically, what I'm saying here is that we have a choice. It's really up to us whether we do that before or after the referendum, and I think this is a very comfortable position. Thank you.
The next question comes from Harry Wilson, The Times. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I was just wondering if you could tell me exactly where the group overall, the combined group, is actually going to be regulated from. And just in conjunction with that, you say obviously you're going to have two headquarters, but Mr. Kengsted, could you actually say where you yourself are actually going to be based and where you envisage the actual combined company being primarily run from?
Thank you very much for the question. I'll take that then. The regulation is going to be unchanged in terms of all the regulatory, legal, and content integrity of the current businesses. That is subject to approval, of course, but this is our intention. So all the businesses that are currently run in their regulated framework are going to continue as they are right now. So no change to that at all. I myself will share my time between the two headquarters, of course, and as CEO of the UK Topco, I will spend a lot of time with the UK Topco at the UK Topco location, which is London, but I am spending a lot of time as well with the Frankfurt headquarters, where I am located right now, and will continue to split this time between the two headquarters. We believe that the combined group will benefit from the expression and manifestation of the strengths of each part of the combined group, and that can take shape by virtue of driving certain businesses from each location with more vigor as they fit into the business logic of each location. So we have obviously London as a liquidity pool and large asset management and large capital markets turnover hub. We have certainly Frankfurt as the home for the European banking authorities, the Bundesbank, and the ECB, for example, and the businesses that are benefiting a lot from the connectivity with those three major European regulatory, supervisory, and monetary institutions are certainly going to have a leaning to be run out of Frankfurt, of course, because that is a very strong business logic. So overall, I think you will see a balanced management team that will dedicate itself to driving value within the existing regulatory framework to be continued and respecting the distinct strengths of each of the headquarter locations, but also distinct strengths of the other locations. We have very strong locations in other European countries, such as Milan, Luxembourg, and many others across the world as well. So this is our intention. It's a global group, and that global group will be run in accordance with global business demands. Thank you very much.
Sorry, just to follow up there then, can I just be clear on here, then will Frankfurt actually become then a subsidiary of the UK Topco? If you have a combined group that is basically listed and registered as a UK company, Frankfurt then becomes a subsidiary of that, and my understanding would then be that the primary regulatory group presumably is going to be the UK regulatory authorities and the Financial Conduct Authority. Am I correct in that?
You are correct in the first part, and in the second part you're not correct. So indeed, Deutsche Börse AG, as well as London Stock Exchange, will become a subsidiary of the new UK Topco. Both of them will be. However, the regulatory ensemble will very much in tune with exactly the way the London Stock Exchange Group functions right now, be driven within the regulatory regimes of each region, nation, jurisdiction. So there is not an overriding regulatory supreme power. It is the businesses that are regulated, which are going to be regulated by their national or regional regulator. Xavier, do you want to add anything, or did I exhaust this question sufficiently?
Yes, so I think you've exhausted it, so I can take that opportunity to repeat again that the regulatory framework remains unchanged, and that regulated entities and other entities remain under their existing either exclusive national regulation or in some cases where there is a college, for example, clearing houses, that remains unchanged. Thank you.
Sorry, just to follow up there again, but I mean, I fully understand your point about that each separate subsidiary will be regulated as under their existing arrangements, but the UK Topco presumably will be a UK regulated business. So in that sense, the group itself is regulated by the UK. What am I missing here?
Can I jump in?
Pass over to Bryden, who's on the call for a moment.
Thank you.
I think it's a misunderstanding. The London Stock Exchange Group, the top company today in London, is not a regulated entity. And in exactly the same way, the new Topco will not be a regulated entity. London Stock Exchange PLC, which runs the market, is a regulated entity, and that will continue like all the other ones similar to that. And Deutsche Börse AG will continue to be regulated in Germany in the same way it is today also. But the Topco will not be a regulated company.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from Paul Davis, Wall Street Journal. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi there. I just wondered if you could give us any more details on the margin savings for clients you're hoping to find in terms of, you know, if do you have any sort of range of numbers that you could put around that? And I'm just curious as to, you know, why you think, you know, regulators, financial stability regulators in particular, would be very happy to see a reduction in the amount of collateral that people are putting behind all of their trades in clearing houses.
Xavier, you want to take it?
Yes, certainly. In terms of margin savings, we've not made any announcements. There's been a lot of comments, particularly amongst analysts, financial analysts, who have proposed and put forward some numbers. We obviously have an idea, but the reason we're not putting a number out there is that it depends, as I think we've indicated in the past, on the client's own regulatory framework, the type of products that they trade, the fact that, for example, in our OTC clearinghouse, we have a single default fund for all the major currencies as an impact, depending that you're a global bank or a regional bank. That's why we've not put out some numbers. It depends very much on the underlying clients themselves, and I will refer you to the range of numbers that have been put out there by sell-side analysts. In terms of the financial stability question, it's very clear that these regulatory capital savings, look at, for example, SwapClear, which, as we've publicly announced last year, saved the customer base $25 billion of regulatory capital owing to the fact that it compressed $328 trillion of swaps. Those regulatory capital savings are conceded because, effectively, systemic risk is being retired. So the advantage, whether it's through compression, whether it's potentially through cross-margining, as we've discussed, or whether it's through the normal netting activity, the mechanical netting that CCPs realize, eliminates risk from the financial market, enables the clients to deleverage, thus making the financial security, financial industry more resilient, and against which, of course, the regulators under approved models that are publicly known are, of course, happy to grant the corresponding efficiencies and savings in terms of margin.
But, sorry, there is a difference between compression where you're getting rid of trades and just having less collateral behind the same pool of existing trades, which is what you seem to be talking about with your margin savings.
No, I've specifically mentioned all three. If you'll recall, I talked about netting, I talked about cross-margining, and I talked about compression. As you point out, these are different activities. In some cases, they are a mechanical form of risk reduction. In some cases, they are a mathematical form of systemic resiliency. And depending on the particular nature of the efficiency that is offered, the regulatory capital regime is treated differently. But the bottom line is this, whether you're looking at netting, whether you're looking at compression, whether you're looking at other forms of cross-margining, you are indeed in an environment where you help reduce the overall level of leverage on the balance sheets of our customers, which benefits, obviously, the job of the central banks, which is why, and believe me, they do scrutinize these particular models greatly, which is why they are willing to grant some efficiencies to the customer base. But you're absolutely right in pointing that there's a whole range of different such efficiencies.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Sean Farrell, The Guardian. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. I wanted to just check, who was it earlier on who answered the questions about timing and the Brexit referendum?
I think I did.
It didn't sound like you. Sorry. Okay, right. But then I just wanted to check, because I listened to the analyst call, and you said that the UK shareholders would decide before the vote, before the referendum, but that the acceptance
I think
period
let me clarify then.
Okay.
We have the flexibility, and maybe I wasn't clear in the analyst call, apologies for that. We have the flexibility to have the UK shareholders vote prior or after just by virtue of the timing of the UK Takeover Code provisions. And there is no decision made whether to have that vote prior or after the referendum date on the 23rd of June. So that's the precise answer. Apologies for not being clear earlier.
Oh, right, because you were very, very straightforward about it. You know, and you just said it's good, you know, it will be after, rather before. So it just seems odd that would be there'd be any confusion about that. Okay, and then I wanted to also ask. You said there's no break fee involved. I mean, given the history of a previous deal being broken up by an intervention by another exchange. I mean, how come you've decided not to have any break fee involved?
It's a mechanical answer, actually. David, do you want to take it?
Yes, this transaction is being done under the UK Takeover Code, and that they do not allow break fees. So it's very much the way the transaction is structured under the code.
Well, sorry, I didn't quite hear that. So how does that work, that there'd be no break fees?
It's under the UK Takeover. This transaction is being done under the rules of the UK Takeover Code. And under that code, has a variety of restrictions and provisions, and break fees, as I think you would normally understand them, are not permitted.
There have been plenty of deals with break fees in the UK recently, I remember.
Not any that have been done under the UK Takeover Code. There are other ways to do transactions.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then just while I've got you, one last question for Xavier Rolle. What are you getting in terms of what journalists call a payoff for leaving, and what will you be paid as an advisor for, you know, when you stay on as an advisor for up to a year?
The terms for Xavier's future employment have not yet been determined. And the Remuneration Committee has not yet met to discuss what the exit terms will be. We're some way away from that.
Okay. Okay. All right, thank you.
The next question comes from Arne Storm, Dietzeit. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. It's a question to Carsten Kengeter. In addressing German concerns about the Topco moving to London and drawing attention, people and business to London, you have said that this discussion will change once the details are disclosed. Now, they are disclosed, and I see advantages for the companies and even for Europe, but I still don't see exactly the advantages for Frankfurt as a region and as a city, financial city. So could you please elaborate on that?
Certainly. Thank you very much. I'll answer the question in English then, as you have asked it in English. Yeah. So perhaps Dr. Faber, who's on the call as well, might want to come in at the end if he's able. The question's very clear as to what are the benefits for Frankfurt. The benefits for Frankfurt are as follows. Deutsche Börse Group is a very important part of the Finanzplatz Frankfurt and therewith the financial infrastructure of the Federal Republic of Germany. With this transaction, Deutsche Börse Group is halting its decline in market share that has been on the cards for a number of years. We have been in a position as number one a few years back. We are now number four. We are under continued pressure because Europe is the natural space for expansion for North American, but also Asian market infrastructure providers. And the business that we are in is a fixed cost scale business by virtue of the technology that is employed. It is also scale and fixed cost related by virtue of the concept of addressing either liquidity trading pools or clearing pools of superior size, and when one is not able to address those, it is obvious that critical mass of client activity declines as time goes by, because price formation and best execution on clearing also is reduced. So we believe that with the fundamentally stronger and broader access that the LSE group has into the client world, that these clients are also being guided towards the very strong services of Deutsche Börse Group, for example, around our clearing services, our post-trade services in settlements and other security services, investment fund services, and so on. So the combination is really making things very, very strong. And it was, for me, an absolute categoric imperative to make sure that Frankfurt is served well, not only by preserving Deutsche Börse's status and strength in the Finanzplatz Frankfurt, but also, I think, over time, by quite frankly increasing its status in the Finanzplatz Frankfurt. This is not about Standortsicherung, if I'm allowed to say that. It is actually Standortförderung, what we're doing here. This is putting Deutsche Börse in a position to grow and to extend itself into the field of global competition, which is really, really important, because I believe that the financial markets infrastructure of Germany and Europe overall must be protected. And I think the large institutions at the Finanzplatz Frankfurt, such as, for example, the supervisory and regulatory institutions, EBA, Bundesbank, ECB, and so on, really appreciate and will appreciate the strength that Deutsche Börse will bring to this Finanzplatz on a future, on a going-forward basis, by virtue of being able to amortize its significant IT investments and amortize them over a broader set of activities across a number of markets. For me personally, I have worked in Frankfurt during my time at Goldman Sachs, also earlier than that, and I have enjoyed coming back to Frankfurt. It is a not only a Finanzplatz, it is a great city with a lot of character, and it is bringing this character forward by being a contributing corporate citizen in Frankfurt, in the town, Frankfurt-Eschborn, I should say, we are across the whole area, is our goal. And for that, we need to have a positive, constructive commercial life as well, and in order to bring our civic life and our contribution as good citizens who are growing in importance for the area forward into the future.
Let me just add Joachim Faber here. We were hoping in stating that if all the details of this transaction could be disclosed, that particularly from a governance point of view, we have made sure that for the next, say, 5 to 10 years, it is very clear and very sure that this company would run with two major centers in London and in Frankfurt. The legal seat, the legal register in London is not determining the priority on one side. What I can only endorse what Carsten said, the real logic of this transaction, of having these systemically important businesses allocated in Frankfurt, like clearing and post-trade, while all the market-driven activities should be have a priority in London, where the world's market is, regardless of the outcome of the Brexit, is a wonderful balance, and this balance will do well for London, but this balance will also do well for Frankfurt. And the development of Deutsche Börse over the last 10 years was, I think, as it was already mentioned, in not gaining additional market shares and not gaining additional market value. So therefore, it is in the best interest of Frankfurt to go in this partnership.
Just as a short follow-up to you, but I see it right that there's no plan to, for example, combine clearing business in Frankfurt. So there's no business moving, so to speak.
The two clearing houses, if you are specifically talking about those, will continue in their individual incorporated status. But as you have heard previously also, Eurex Clearing is very much focused on the exchange-traded side of things, whereas LCH Clearnet very much focus on the off-exchange, so-called OTC side of things. And we believe that having the link between the two via a variety of ways of doing this will drive more volume on both sides, and it will make sure that the significant and very systemically important investments that we have made in Eurex Clearing's risk management systems, as well as the other IT services in there, will see as much traffic as possible, and therefore we can continue to stay on state-of-the-art technology going forward with a view to assisting the systemic risk mandate that the Bundesbank, for example, pursues in the interest of the Federal Republic. So it's a long-winded answer to your question, but I hope I explained it.
Thank you.
The next question comes from James Randall, Dow Jones. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, everyone. I just had another question on the clearing businesses. I know it was just clarified slightly there, but just to clarify further, the slides talk about aggregate margin pools as a means of comparison, and there are various linkages between them, but operationally the businesses will remain distinct, right? And I guess more importantly, does that mean that their default funds will remain distinct and their recovery and resolution procedures as well?
Harvey, do you want to go?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, the answer to your question is yes. The default fund will remain separate. The operations and the regulatory model will remain as they are. In terms of recovery and resolution, all clearinghouse fall under a pan-European model, and they will be compliant with that model going forward. So there is no indication or intimation or any discussion as to any changes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I believe this was the final question, and we would all like to thank you for participating, and we enjoyed answering your questions. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.